Welcome to episode 244 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or you're just tuning in, we're happy that you found us. We truly believe that travel is the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We'd love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Dawn, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Laura, Sandy, George, and Lindsay. We're also very excited to welcome our very special guest and fellow Outlander agent, Robin. Yay!
Thank you.
Robin had the opportunity to participate in a seminar at sea on board Royal Caribbean's beautiful Freedom of the Seas. They cruised out of San Juan, Puerto Rico, and an amazing Southern Caribbean itinerary. She visited the countries of Curaçao, Aruba, St. Kitts, and St. Thomas, and she's here to tell us all about it. So let's get started.
Okay, so do you want me to just give you an overview, or do you have questions?
I have a question.
Okay.
And San Juan, how was San Juan? How long were you there?
I was only there for a night. I wish I had gone in sooner, but it's hard to stay away for more than a week from my kids. We stayed in a hotel on the beach. It was very nice. We were going to go out and do a tour of the Bacardi factory. And by the time we get to the hotel and did everything, we were too late for it. So we were glad we didn't prepay for it. Nice. I went with another agent that's not with Outlander. Finish, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I know this isn't a podcast about Puerto Rico, but I'm just curious if you feel like you would send people to Puerto Rico.
I definitely would. Okay. I know that some places outside of San Juan are still not up to what it was, but the San Juan was beautiful. The beaches were beautiful. The sunset was beautiful. I mean, it was just great. And the people were so welcoming. I do want to tell you that getting on a cruise in San Juan is so much different than some of the other cruises I've been on.
Different good or different bad or just different, different?
Just different, different. So we get up, we took an Uber from the hotel. Now, oh, just one thing. If you fly into San Juan, you cannot take an Uber from the airport. It might have changed because there were something that was supposed to go through, but you could take Ubers other places and you could take an Uber back to the airport. And we, you know, sat there looking for an Uber, and we realized that they couldn't pick us up, and we ended up on the end of a very long taxi line. So if we had known that, we would have been transferred. So that's something to definitely think of.
That's one of the things that I have clients who sailed out of there with Disney. And the first thing they said to me when they came back is, do not ever send anybody there without getting them a private transfer from the airport. They said, number one, the line is so long. And number two, they pointed us to our taxi. We went over and the guy was asleep in the back seat and he had a bottle in his pocket.
Oh, my God.
George, what were you going to say?
That's pretty common with airports, at least now with some of the Ubers, because they were trying to protect the taxi trade so that Ubers could drop off, but they couldn't pick up.
Yep.
I remember when the Miami port was like that. I don't think it's like that anymore, but
yeah, we had to pretend that, you know, it was our Uncle Joe.
That's so funny.
Yeah. That was good times.
That's okay. Interesting though, because just another side note, when I went to Puerto Rico in 2016, there was no problem getting a taxi from the airport. So it's interesting that it's kind of bogged down right now. But
well, it may be timing too. It may be that because, well, you arrived the night before your cruise, right?
Yeah.
But when you went, you were not going on a cruise.
No, I was there for a conference.
So it could be that you just timed it so that it wasn't with a cruise ship.
I'm just lucky, I guess.
Yeah, just lucky.
But there was a Carnival ship that took off the same day as us. And because there were people on my flight that were on a Carnival ship. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you get to the airport, so the Uber has to drop you off in the parking lot, which is not a big deal because it's right across from the port. But when you get there, we kept looking for somebody to take our bags. We because usually when you go, when I've gone to Miami and when I've gone to Fort Lauderdale, Port Canaveral, you give the porter your bag. Well, that's not the way you do it. They have it by deck, at least for Royal Caribbean. So we had to look for our deck number, and they were spread out. So we were dropped off in the middle, and our deck was, well, way off to the left. But there were some decks to the right, and they weren't always in order.
Because that would be easy.
but I don't know if this is the same with other cruise lines or if this was just Royal Caribbean. And I'm going to ask some of the Disney people if they know. But it's something to know that don't just look for a porter because they're waiting for you to come to them. So finally, we realized that. We went over there. We gave them our bags. We had switched cabins. We upgraded from an ocean view to a balcony, and our luggage tag still had our old number. Mm-hmm. So we had to give; they had to give us new tags and write everything down. So that was very different. Once that was done, everything else was the same. Of course, we were all the way on the other side from the entrance. So we got to the entrance. We went in. We had priority boarding. We did that, and everything else was exactly the same. Cool. Except there were a lot of more people speaking Spanish than you're used to.
Yeah.
Wasn't a problem. It was just, you know, because you're in a Spanish-speaking place, and a lot of people sail from there who live there.
Yeah.
So did you feel that it was still organized, even though you didn't know what the organization was, once you figured it out? Was it still a smooth process?
It was, but there were a lot of people like us who didn't know what they were doing. So people were walking back and forth. So telling, you know, knowing that going in will help you a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
So tell us about your itinerary, what the general itinerary was. You don't have to get into detail yet, but just sort of.
So the first day, we were in Curaçao. The second day we were in Aruba. Then we had a day at sea. Then we went to St. Kitts. No, sorry. We had a day at sea first. Then we went to Curaçao, then to Aruba. Then we had a day at sea, then St. Kitts, then St. Thomas.
Oh, okay.
So there's only 2 days at sea. Now I'm questioning myself.
Pretty sure it's listed on.
Well, how many days of classes did you have? Because that will tell you.
There were four stops, four ports, and we had 2 days of classes.
Okay.
So I have the days of classes right. I just don't know if I have them right order.
So I have a question about
class from. Oh, that
sorry. So I was going to ask you about the ship because the Freedom of the Seas. For one thing, it's newly amped, so I want to hear about that. But the last one we were on was the Harmony, which is one of the really big ones. So how does the Freedom compare to the Oasis-class ships?
It's much smaller. It doesn't have all the, you know, it doesn't have the boardwalk. It doesn't have the Central Park. But it has, you know, a lot of things that they would, when they amped it up, which has some of the restaurants, but they're just in different places. So it's just a matter of familiarizing yourself, but because it's smaller, it's much easier to get around.
Have they done the same thing with the Freedom that they did with, say, the Adventure, which you and I saw together last year, where they've sort of built a pseudo promenade area that's sort of reminiscent of the Oasis class, but obviously not as big. So the shops, restaurants, all that, they're in the center.
Yeah, because don't they have like promenade views?
They do.
And
mm-hmm.
stuff?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of the ladies who was with us had a promenade view. And I remember in Adventure of the Seas, they said that it wasn't that loud. She said that it was.
George, you had a promenade view on the Harmony, didn't you?
We did. And actually, I had a promenade view on Freedom last time I was on.
Well, how did you feel about the volume on it? The street noise, if you will.
We didn't hear a thing on Harmony, and on Freedom a little bit if they were playing something loud. But outside of that, no, it was pretty decent. I was surprised. I thought it was going to be noisier.
And I was on a promenade in the Adventure of the Seas a couple of years ago, and the only time it ever really became an issue is when they had the parades.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, she just came into the class complaining. She wanted to upgrade. There was nothing to upgrade to, so they upgraded her to the promenade. And I think she sort of wishes she had stayed with the inside. So I didn't see it or hear it. We had a balcony. We loved it. It was great.
That's a good upgrade.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we paid for it, but the only issue that we had was my bag got broken. One of the wheels was broken, and they give you a whole new bag. It happened to somebody at one of my clients, so I had an idea that it was going to happen. So the wheel was broken, and I said something to our cabin steward, and she sent somebody else in, and they wrote up all this paperwork, and they asked me approximately how much it was worth. And then she came back and she goes, "Would you prefer a hard sided or a soft sided?" And mine was blue. She goes, "Do you care what color it is?" I go, "I care that it wheels." That's all. And they must have a whole stash of different size luggage downstairs, brand new. Mm-hmm. So I came home with a brand new piece of luggage. Mm-hmm. My roommate, her luggage didn't get there. And we waited and we waited. And I'm in the room and she was up at guest services starting to fill the paperwork out for a lost bag. And these ladies came to our door and they said, "Are you missing a piece of luggage?" And we said, "Yes." He said, "We're on the other side of the ship and it's in front of our cabin." So I walked around and I got it. Like, I'm calling her, "I found it."
You follow me.
So it has been sitting there all day.
Oh, God.
We had been telling them since 5 o'clock that her luggage wasn't there. And that was really our only complaint the whole trip. She was freaking out because she thought she didn't have her luggage, and then we found it, so all was well.
But it sounds like they handled it pretty well. I mean, obviously you found it before they did, but chances are they would have found it. So.
Oh yeah, they would have found it, but probably not till the next morning. Mm-hmm. But you would have thought that since it was sitting out there and they were looking for luggage, that somebody would have said, you know, "Can you check luggage over there?"
Yeah, I think they give it some time before they start, you know, looking at what's still in the hall, because it takes so long. I've seen, I can't remember what ship we were on, but I feel like it was maybe Norwegian last year, and they actually brought flyers to the rooms with pictures of two pieces of luggage. And they were like, "Have you seen a piece of luggage like this delivered to your room?" So they were like actively like asking people if they stole the luggage.
Well, the next afternoon, there was a note in saying, "Do you have any luggage in your room that's not yours?" So somebody else must have been still missing their luggage.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, if it had been me, it would have just been completely gone.
Never. Floating outside.
Poor Donna.
Freedom is not amped yet, just to let you know. It's not amped until next year. Independence.
Okay. Amped. Independence, okay. Gotcha.
Yep.
Way to go. Way to study up for this.
Thank you for that clarification, uh-huh. George. I thought that's why the seminar was on that ship.
No, I think it's more about the itinerary, actually.
I mean, it has some of the specialty restaurants like Chops and Johnny Rockets and Giovanni's Table. But you could tell they weren't there originally because they, like Chops was next to the buffet, like in where the buffet was.
Uh-huh.
So it was just a little weird. The same on the other side.
The amped term is like very specific to some of the renovations they're doing now. So I do believe that the Freedom's been updated. Otherwise, it wouldn't have a promenade. But it just hasn't gotten that like Mariner treatment.
I think it's been updated since I've been an agent. Mm-hmm. So within like the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I might be thinking of the Independence, but I think it used to sail out of Galveston. And I remember watching a webinar about it, but it was totally available to If I'm thinking the same shit, I might not be.
So talking about a smaller ship, you know, we've talked about a lot of the big Oasis class and Quantum class ships on our podcast from Royal Caribbean. Can you talk a little bit about the entertainment and maybe some of the differences between what you see on a Oasis class ship and then what you got to see? And was it still fantastic entertainment? Was it, you know, what was it like?
Okay, well, the major difference is that you can't make any reservations ahead of time because it is a smaller ship. We saw a show, and now I lost the name of it in my head. So we saw one of the regular shows, and it was wonderful. The ice show was good. There were some other shows, like late night shows. There was a comedy show that I heard was so-so. What else was there? There was, I'm sorry, I'm blanking out.
FreedomIce.com is the ice show.
FreedomIce.com, that's what they call the show?
Well, believe it or not, yes.
I'm glad that you feel the same way about that that I do, George. So is it, because I remember one of the first ice shows I saw in Royal Caribbean was basically an advertisement for Royal Caribbean. Is that what this ice show is, the Freedom Ice?
The ice show that you and I saw on Adventure, I liked much better. This one, it was different, but I liked the one on Adventure better. Mm-hmm. But this one, it was very hard to get into because it's not a huge venue. And if you go at the last minute, you're not going to get a seat. So that happened to us the first time, and we ended up going the second time. But you need to really get there a good half hour early to make sure that you get seats. And as you know, sometimes you're at dinner and it doesn't affect. Mm-hmm. So we ended up doing some trivia instead. No, they don't have any name musicals. This was one of their own. It was very, very good. It was one of those things. That venue is much bigger than the ice venue. So we weren't sure if we were going to go to it. And Ginny, who's our rep, who was there, she sends us all a message. And she's like, oh, I saved seats for the ice, for the show. And so we ended up going, and it was fantastic. It was really, really good.
Yeah, Ginny will always make you go to the shows.
I love the shows.
That's her thing. That is her thing. We see eye to eye on that. So can you tell, did you eat at any of the specialty restaurants?
I ate at Giovanni's Table. It was very good. Some of the others ate at Chops and Savoir. They said Chops was the same as any of the other ships. I'm trying to remember if they said anything about Savoir. And we ate at Johnny Rockets.
Of course, the Mexican, right?
Yeah, they're the ones that do the guacamole demonstrations.
Yeah. But I heard good things about that one also.
I ate there last time. It was very good. And it's the old style Sabor. So it's a full restaurant. It's not the cantina style that they're doing that they did on Harmony.
Yeah. What's the difference? I'm not familiar.
It's actually a sit-down restaurant. The one on Harmony is more of like a bar.
Well, we went and had dinner there.
Yeah, but it's like...
It's still got that bar atmosphere.
Yeah, like almost like a TGI Fridays. Okay. Or, you know, like that sort of... Yeah, where it's a hangout. But whereas on the other ships, it's actually like a sit-down restaurant. Like,
yeah, it's like fine dining Mexican, okay. If you can imagine that.
That sounds like an oxymoron to me.
I know.
Oh, there's some great formal Mexican restaurants. Yeah, absolutely.
It wasn't formal, but it was really good.
Well, yeah, and formal, I mean, I shouldn't use that word because Royal Caribbean would probably smack my hand for it, but, you know, more planned, I guess, is the best word for it. The one on the Harmony is really, it is. It's like almost like presented as bar
food. It's on the boardwalk and it's open air. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. I have another question about the shows, sort of. The first cruise I ever went on was one of the Royal Caribbean older, smaller ships, and they did an aerial show in the lobby. Do they do something like that? Because I know they don't have the aqua theater. They do any other kind of thing like that?
They might have, but I did not see it.
Okay. Maybe they're just moved away from it.
Well, I think because that was the grandeur. I think I remember that. Yeah. I watched it with you. And I think that as they've changed these lobbies into the atriums, they've promenades. Changed them into promenades. I'm not sure they do those anymore.
Maybe it was the number of drinks you had that night. Party,
they did either an 80s or a 90s party.
Cool.
I'm sorry. I didn't make it to that one. So I think it was an
80s. That's okay. We all go to bed early. Laura, what were you saying?
I said maybe it was the number of drinks you had that night that makes you remember an aerial show.
No, I clearly remember the aerial show.
It really happened.
It was actually really interesting too. We don't need to talk about it because it's not there anymore. But because the lobby was several levels, you could watch from the bottom level, the second level. So you would be in different. You'd have different perspectives on the show.
Yeah.
Which was really cool.
When we were there, it was a 70s show. It was a riot. They had, you know, big hair wigs and stuff with bell bottoms, and it was pretty cool.
That's one thing.
I feel like you have to bring something from every decade because you never know exactly which parties they're gonna do. So you need a 70s outfit, an 80s, a 90s, and then like a white party outfit. Yeah, lots of packing.
What about J-Lo outfit?
Maybe that. Yeah. That could be the white party too. So.
Yeah.
Awesome. So who do you think should sail on the Freedom? What's the appeal factor to this ship and this itinerary?
The itinerary is amazing. Southern Caribbean is the islands are so much different. And I realized something going on this cruise without my family. Usually when I cruise with my family, we do like water stuff. You know, we go snorkeling. You know, we swim with the dolphins. I did three of the four tours. We did a city tour, or an island tour. And I was able to get, you know, the gist of each of the islands because of that. And that was really nice to be able to tell my clients. It was definitely different from what I usually do with my family.
So which islands did you do the city tours in?
So Curacao, we went to see a hotel. We saw the sunscape there. And then in Aruba, we did a city tour. In St. Kitts, we did a city tour. And then we did an island tour of St. John when we went to St. Thomas.
Oh, cool. So did you boat over to St. John and then tool around on the island? I've done snorkeling over to St. John, but we didn't actually like get to walk around on the land over there at all. It was just sort of boat over there and see some fish and turtles and then come back.
How are St. Thomas and St. John? Because I know they got messed up that same year Puerto Rico did.
So we found out that the week before we were there, the last people finally got electricity back in St. Thomas.
Ooh.
Wow.
And everyone in Puerto Rico still does not have electricity.
Yeah.
We were talking to some people, and they said that there are areas where people have lived for decades, you know, for years and years, but there's only four or five houses in specific areas, and the government doesn't feel that it's worth it to give them back electricity. So they have a choice of moving and moving all their stuff or staying there without electricity.
Wow.
Or finding a way to get electricity themselves.
They need to go off grid and get solar.
That's just, everywhere. I thought that was crazy. But St. John, you could still see some of the damage when we drove around. It's a beautiful island. Beautiful beaches. One of the big hotels never reopened after, and now they're talking about that it might not. It's possible that it would. I'm just looking at my notes. It's possible that it would end up either just sitting there, or that somebody else would buy it and start it. So 2/3 of St. John's is a national park. Mm-hmm. But the national park is not like some of our other national parks. It's not all in one area. The national park is all over. So there might be one area of national park here and one there. But all in all, about 2/3.
Wow. That's cool. Yeah, I thought that St. John was a lot less like built up.
Yeah, it's not very populated. I didn't know that. So do you, I'm curious about these city tours, because that's something, you know, we are frequent cruisers, and hopefully some of our clients and some of our listeners are frequent went cruisers as well. So, and you and I talked offline about this a little bit. So you were two adults traveling together and you were travel agents too. So there's sort of an educational reason to be on this. You're, you know, brushing up on your knowledge and everything. But if you were to go back with your family, do you think that they would enjoy a city tour of Aruba with you? Do you think they would get something out of
it? My husband might. I don't think my kids would. It's more like when my parents, who are in their mid-70s, when they travel, they do city tours. They do island tours. They don't want to go snorkeling. They don't want to swim with the dolphins. They want to see the islands that they're on. So the St. John's tour had, that one was a little bit different because you could stay there afterwards and stay on the beach because the ferry goes back and forth. The ferry runs from 6 in the morning till 12 midnight. So they said afterwards, if you wanted to go to the beach and then just go back on the ferry on your own, you could. But then you're chancing getting there late.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to be that person.
Yeah. You don't want to do that.
So it's one of those things you have to decide. But they were all adults on our tours. There was one tour that had, like, they had two toddlers. And they were really good, but it was not the tour for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So which one of, out of all the islands, which one was your absolute favorite?
So St. Kitts was my favorite island, but the beaches were not great. It's really not a place to, if they said they have great snorkeling and some good diving, but their beaches are so small. But the island itself is beautiful, and we went and we saw them make the teak, and that was just great. We really liked that. The island is just beautiful with so much flora and fauna, and it was really pretty. For beaches, I would say St. John.
What did you say you saw them make, Robin? I'm sorry.
The teak.
Oh, B-A-T-I-K. Okay.
So batik is where they take wax, they put wax, and they make like a wax picture almost, and then they dye it, and they take the wax off and put more wax on and dye it again. And they can do, I think they set up 6 dyes. And it's just beautiful, and I took a video of it. They have these ladies making it, and they have a place where you know, they sell it. But it was so beautiful.
Well, they put wax on what?
On fabric?
It's kind of like a tie-dye thing, but instead of using rubber bands to make the patterns, they used wax. The wax stops the dye from going there.
So they had shirts, and they had dresses, and they had bags, and they had, I got Alex a little makeup bag, and I got Danny a bag with some cinnamon in it. And I got Russ a bag with some rum in it. And I got myself and my mom some little, like, makeup type bags also. And then I even got a batik picture. It's like an island picture that I'm going to frame and put up in my office.
Yeah, when I was in, this is not an island thing, but when I was in Kenya years ago, I have a batik of the Last Supper.
Wow.
That they had done in blues and purples and... And I used to use it in a diversity talk because all the people are of color. And, here in America, we think that everything that's spoken about in the Bible, they're all little white people running around. So but it's beautiful. It's probably as big as a big bath mat. That's how big it is. It's beautiful and well done.
Yeah, they had blankets made of batik. I mean, you could get so many different things. And the one thing a lady said was, the way you know it's batik is if it's the same pattern on both sides, not opposite, but the same exact pattern on both sides.
Cool.
Interesting.
Well, I want to hear about Curacao because that's one you don't really hear about ever.
Curacao is a little bit windy.
Okay.
Wait, no, I mean, it's not as windy as Aruba. Aruba was so windy.
Aruba is the windsurfing capital of the world, or something like that.
That makes sense. Curacao, we went to visit Sunscape. It's an all-inclusive. It's the only real all-inclusive there, but it more of a budget all-inclusive. The beach was amazing. They have some beautiful, beautiful beaches. We didn't get to do much more because we didn't get back from Sunscape till a little bit later. But it was beautiful. They had a pretty downtown area where you could walk around and purchase things, which, you know, most of the islands have. But it was really nice. Then we got to Aruba, and Aruba, there was actually a holiday. It was their Labor Day. So a bunch of stuff was closed, which made us sad, but it is what it is. We wanted to go to the aloe vera factory, and they're like, oh, you can go to at the port, you can go purchase stuff. And we were like, well, we really wanted to see how it was made, but it was nice.
So I remember my question. You went at the end of April, beginning of May, right?
Yes.
So would you recommend going to the Southern Caribbean at that time? Was it nice and warm?
It was very warm.
Rainy or?
The only rain we had was there was a little bit of rain in Puerto Rico the day that we got there. Actually, no, it was the day that the cruise took off. But it was like Florida rain where, you know, it rained and it stopped. It wasn't like an all-day rain. But yeah, that was about it.
Because that's kind of a shoulder season, so sometimes you can get some good prices. I mean, unless Easter happens to be right then.
I have some clients who have gone the last two Februarys and done that same itinerary. I think they were on the Independence, so that might be one. I don't know. Anyway, they are on Royal Caribbean out of Puerto Rico.
The Southern Caribbean is great for the winter, for sure, because it goes so far south that it's much warmer. And the further south
you can go.
The prices
are really good. Yeah, real good that time of year.
Yeah, your Curacao and Aruba is going to be warm all year round. I mean, that's just the way it is. And this cruise actually does two different itineraries every other week. So the other week, I think they go to Bonaire and St. Lucia and maybe Antigua. I know they don't go to all the same, you know, it's every other week.
That's cool. You can do it back to back.
That's really cool.
A lot of, if you have 2 weeks to spare.
They are interesting islands, right? Because you get so used to the ones that are close by.
Yeah.
If you cruise a lot.
I did. I mean, one of my very favorite cruises was a totally different line, a Princess cruise back in the early 2000s, and it was Southern Caribbean, and we went to Barbados and Grenada. I mean, it was super cool. We went to Aruba. We didn't go to Curacao or Bonaire. I know those are both like big. It's usually the ABCs, Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao. Tend to be in one itinerary, but and we went to Key West on that one as well. So
I apologize. They did do a 70s party. I just didn't go to it. That's why I didn't.
I'm really glad that we've had this podcast so I can stop calling it Caraco.
It's the same as the drink, Curacao. That's how you can remember it. The blue drink.
I've been saying that wrong since.
Have you?
Yeah.
I mean, it even has a little Cedillo.
I didn't know what that meant.
the only blue drink I have are blue raspberry slushies from 7-Eleven.
So the next time we travel together, we'll get you a blue drink that is not a blue raspberry slushie, and we'll see how you like it.
Well, on that note, that is our show for this week. We want to thank you for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. And you can also find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave us a review in iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because we'd love to hear from you. So thank you, Robin, so much for joining us. We loved hearing about the freedom of the seas and all these new interesting islands. On behalf of Sandy, Elizabeth, Laura, George, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.